The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, according to a survey published in 2019, 23,000 working women in Ireland suffered domestic abuse in the previous 12 months, and this resulted in absenteeism, a poor performance at work, lost earnings, and in some cases, lost employment. Last year, Safe Ireland estimated the cost of domestic violence to be about 2.7 billion each year, and most of that due to lost earnings. Now, to talk about how employers can create a workplace that is a safe space for people who are at home suffering from domestic abuse, I'm joined by Women's Aid CEO Sarah Benson. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, it's extraordinary. When I heard we were doing this story, I was thinking, what has domestic abuse, in other words, that happens in the home, got to do with the workplace? So you will explain.
I will. And listen, I mean, the statistics that you've already cited there kind of paint the picture. The fact is, domestic abuse impacts all facets and aspects of a person's life because it is about coercive, controlling, abusive, sometimes violent behaviours. And of course, if somebody is trying to hold down and be productive in work, sometimes one of the active things which is targeted is a woman's work, her workplace, and also her economic independence. And so often employers think, as you say, what has this got to do with employment? But we recognise that people have needs for sick leave, compassionate leave, force majeure. So where there is domestic abuse, employers can be, can be an amazing ally to somebody who is subjected to domestic abuse. They don't have to be a counsellor or a support. They don't have to, you know, be the specialist support service. But there's very simple, practical things they can do to really help.
Now, sometimes colleagues will worry and wonder about a person. I mean, it doesn't have to be a black eye. It doesn't have to be things like that. There can be other symptoms, I suppose, bad work performance, people being absent-minded or preoccupied, maybe calls coming through that are obviously difficult to take, whispered calls in the office. All of these things could lead to a colleague suspecting that all is not well at home. That colleague may say, are you all right? And then, you know, perhaps that pal in work is the person in whom the domestic abuse will be confided.
Yes. And look, the other thing to keep in mind is that we, through the National Free Phone Helpline, decades of support services over the years to thousands and thousands of women, also hear where somebody will be feel that there's stigma attached to what's going on, that they don't want somebody to know, up to and including where they may actually leave their job without the employer or colleagues ever knowing what's going on. So what we in Women's Aid have been doing is working with very proactive, innovative employers who really see that this is a well-being issue, it's part of their diversity and inclusion work, is to have a policy in the company. Because actually, in terms of statistics on who women will disclose to, employers actually rank about number four, because sometimes they will want to explain why perhaps their performance isn't going well. But that's very hard if they're not sure what the response will be. So creating a policy which may include, you know, risk assessment, may include support around flexible working time. If somebody's being stalked, for example, changing their work number, if somebody is being persistently contacted, up to and including special leave to, under the cover of work, be able to go and meet with specialist services or a solicitor or go to court, especially if someone is suffering coercive control where their abuser knows, likes to know where they are all the time. So these are really practical employment policies that can be put in place.
The company that conducted that survey was Vodafone under the leadership of the now departing Anne O'Leary, and they have a policy to deal with this in their company, and others I'm sure will emulate it. But one of the things that can happen is that the partner at home, in exercising coercive control and perhaps being violent, I mean, they could do things like take the laptop supplied by the company and smash it.
Yeah, and but you know, there's other tactics that we hear about. So, you know, we have situations where, you know, an abusive partner will turn off the Wi-Fi and restrict access to it every time that somebody needs to log in for work. And I think more and more, and I've spoken with a number of employers who really are actually starting to see this issue now in the context of during the pandemic, so many people pivoting to working at home and realizing that home is not a comfortable or safe space to actually do your work or just to live. And so this is something that I think more and more employers are seeing. Actually, there's practical things we can do to help here and recognize this. And of course, there's also legislation coming down the tracks on this. So it's advisable for all employers to just be proactive because it's the right thing to do. But there will be legislation on this coming as well.
And people who employ those and think, oh, well, they've worked very well during the pandemic at home. And the employee is saying, please, can I come into work? Perhaps that's a red flag. You know, I see my work as a respite from the torment at home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's many reasons why some employees will prefer to come into work. And so that's where hybrid arrangements can be made. But if somebody is under pressure, an employer can then, you know, where perhaps they might be open to somebody working at home, but they can then, you know, kind of be authoritative and in support of that person, say, no, I require you to come in because that's what the person has asked, and their abuser then can't argue with it. But we do know that it is also just, as you mentioned, also about colleagues, peers in organizations. If you have a policy that also includes reference to signposting to specialist services, it also creates that opportunity for a whole community in a workplace to be an ally and a support to somebody.
All right. Now, finally, Sarah, you have a package that you can make available to employers who would like to do what you're suggesting and really don't know where to start.
Absolutely. A number of companies have already done this, and we have a package that involves support and assistance on both developing or reviewing existing policies and then training and support around the implementation of it, you know, for senior people right down to, you know, raising awareness amongst the staff around appropriate interventions and things like that. So if anyone's interested in that, they can contact us on training@womensaid.ie. And of course, if anyone is impacted by this issue, I'd remind that there is the National Free Phone Helpline for Women's Aid, which is 1-800-341-900. And we also would work in partnership with organisations that support men and LGBT people as well. And we can signpost there too.
Yeah. The Men's Development Network Free Phone for Male Advice is 1-800-816-588. The Women's Aid National Free Phone Helpline, I'll reiterate it again, it's 1-800-341-900. And if you want that training package, all you have to do is email training@womensaid.ie. Sarah Benson, CEO of Women's Aid, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on